This follows up the Easter story we heard last week, telling of how the resurrection happened, how he appeared to others. And here is this important message that comes to us all today. Listen for God's word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said this, he showed him his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who's called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, or put my finger in the mark of the nails in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but those that are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Peace be with you. Those are Jesus' words to his disciples. On that very night after he was raised from death to life, remember how Mary went to the tomb, saw the stone rolled away, was frightened and ran to the disciples and told Peter and others. And so they ran to the tomb themselves, and they found, as she had said, him not there. But they did not yet believe. So they went back home. And the disciples, now you have this picture of frightened disciples gathered in the upper room that they were in for that last meal together with Jesus. Scared to death. Uncertain of the future. Look what they did to our leader. They didn't just kill him, they crucified him in the most horrible way. So then what is our fate? What's going to happen for us? They were fearful that it might happen to them because of their association with him. So they gathered not only in an upper room, but it says the door was shut and locked for fear of the Jewish authority. And Jesus appeared in their midst and says these four words, "Peace be with you." Now I can imagine the disciples were a little more than stunned, a little more than surprised. That even though Mary had stayed by the tomb, even though Mary discovered and saw this resurrected Lord and ran to tell the disciples, because they had not seen it, they were afraid, and so they pulled up in a locked door, uncertain of their future. You know, the story is told in this passage that Thomas, one of the disciples, wasn't with them. And so when Jesus appeared and showed himself to them, they believed and rejoiced. Fantastic. But we make out Thomas as some less than standard apostle for doubting that somehow Jesus has risen just because you saw him. I have not seen him. Unless I see him and see the marks in his hands and the marks in his side, I will not believe. It's understandable. Remember, they did see. Mary saw Jesus at the tomb. The disciples saw him last week. And Thomas is not so sure. Now, we all have our doubts. We all wonder. I have one child in particular, our oldest child, who was kind of the doubting Aaron of our family. For her, if I went to her and said, "Aaron, we're out of your cereal," she'd say, "I want to see." She'd have to take it to cover and assure the fact that it was empty. If her show was over, and we tell her that, she says, "I want to see." Take her in, show her the TV, turn it on to the channel, and she can see that it's no longer there. It seems like throughout her early life, every time we told her something wasn't true, she wanted to have proof. In fact, that was the case. So we referred to her kindly as Doubting Aaron. But you know, to be fair to Thomas and to Aaron, they just wanted what the other disciples got to enjoy. They got to see him. And when Thomas did get to see him a week later, interesting, it says the door was closed. It did not say it was locked. That somehow Jesus appearing to them and offering them peace reassured them enough that they were no longer locking themselves away in fear. They were still gathering together, trying to understand what does the future hold for us. Here, the door is just shut. But Jesus appears again. And immediately, he says, "Peace be with you." And says, "Thomas, go ahead, check it out. Check my hands. Check my side. It is I who was crucified and died on the cross. But now I'm here standing before you, very much alive. And I'm going to breathe on you and empower you to be able to be the people of God as I send you out to share this good news with others. So others may come discover that the powers of sin and death have been broken and life has been opened up in every way. Abundant life. Everlasting." What struck me about the story was his simple four words. "Peace be with you." You know, there are times in our life when we are unrest, we are uncertain, we are anxious. And sometimes we need to hear in some form those words, "Peace be with you." We need reassurance that we're not alone. We need reassurance that God is active and working in our lives. So peace be with you. Peace. You know, peace just isn't the absence of conflict. Peace isn't just the absence of war. Peace is something far more than that, but includes those things. The peace that Jesus offered was a peace different than any other kind that the world could possibly provide. Matter of fact, in John's Gospel earlier, Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I give you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Those exact words are used at memorial and funeral services to share with the family and others who gather to celebrate someone's life. They speak of a peace that is far more profound and deep than some of the peace we sometimes feel in our lives. A deep, deep, abiding sense of wholeness and trust and confidence and reassurance. That somehow, as the choir sang, put our children in the hands of God. Entrust them. Because it is sometimes too much for us. Too overwhelming, too uncertain. Anyone who is a parent knows how scary it is to care for your child in this world and be uncertain of the future in which they may live. Holding our breath, praying constantly for them, hoping God will care for them in the absence of our ability to care for them, yet knowing it's out of our hands in so many ways. We have done all we can do. We do as much as we can, but the everlasting sense of peace and reassurance and trust has to be put in a God who cares for us in profound ways, one who died for us and rose for us, whose waters pour over us to identify us as his own, to say, you are mine. And for you who are mine, I care so deeply for you, so abidingly am I always with you. You are never alone. Trust me. Trust me. Peace be with you. That became a phrase that the early church throughout all time now, over 2,000 years, uses in its liturgy. When someone says, peace be with you, the response is, and also with you. We want to grant each other peace in the fellowship of Christ because we know we are in God's hands. No better hands than we can be in than God. And we need to trust ourselves in the loving hands of God to help us through in every circumstance of life. Matter of fact, the breath prayer I use in many circumstances in the course of the day or week is this one. Lord God, grant me your peace. Lord God, grant me your peace. In troubled times, in good times, in anxious times, I say this phrase over and over and over again until it begins to play on me. It begins to work on me, and I begin to feel that sense of peace. I begin to feel God's presence. I find myself reassured as I look towards whatever decision or difficulty or challenge lies before me. I know I'm not alone. God has provided me with all kinds of people in the family of God to be with me, but I am not alone even when they're not available. Nor is anyone I care to love, nor anyone else I put into God's hands, trusting me. But peace, in God's sense, is a sense of wholeness. Completeness. A full sense of being at rest within inside your own souls, within inside your own skin. That even in the most turbulent times you can somehow find a calmness that pours over you. And the more you experience that, the more you see that in your life, the more you know it's true. And you come to trust it even more. And for the thing that happened to the disciples was, is they saw the risen Lord and believed and celebrated it, and they shared it with others, and they lived out their life from that day ever forth with the confidence no longer needed to lock the doors, eventually not even needed to close the door, because they were in the hands of God. They were sent out by God, given God's Spirit, and they could boldly live for Him. No matter the duration of their life, no matter their circumstances, what may take place for them, they ultimately are in God's hands. For all time. A family grieving needs to hear those words. That their loved one is in the loving hands of God. Those of us who are living need to hear that. That God holds us in his hands. The peace God wants for us is rich. It's unbounding, unending. There is no shortage of supply. But the thing that we have different than those that were disciples is, I have not physically seen the resurrected Lord. Anyone? But I've seen the testimony of those who have. I've seen the impact on their lives. For the apostles in the early church and people throughout the course of the time, and even people now who believe, I see the difference belief in Christ makes in their lives. I see what a different perspective they have, a different worldview they have, a different way in which they approach and deal with life because they are the Lord's. And they serve them with their lives. And that changes everything. Everything. And it's that Lord we believe in. It's that Lord we have come to seek evidence in our lives and the lives of others, taking part in the struggles and celebrations of each and everyone's life through the course of time. And we know in our own life, we have seen it for ourselves. We have seen the Lord work in our lives. And more, hopefully we can trust it. Trust it today, trust it in this moment, trust it tomorrow, trust it for all time. So I use the words of our Lord and pray you might grant it back to me. Peace be with you.
And also with you.